Welcome to the Nerd Party.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Missing Frames. This is the podcast where we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge. Joining me for this episode is my beautiful wife, Sarah Eastridge. Hi.
Hey.
So we are going to be watching one of Sarah's favorite movies that is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. That movie is 10 Things I Hate About You, which is a movie I have never seen in all my life.
I can see why you haven't seen it.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means, I don't know if it was, geared towards the male demographic.
Wow. Wow. We've got some stuff we need to air out right now. I'm feeling a little hated on, a little discriminated against.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I know this is, I've seen bits and pieces of this because it's always on television because people always freaking talk about this movie. People love this movie. It was a big deal that, like, this is like Heath Ledger's big breakthrough.
It was everyone's.
Everyone in this movie. There's
the
Julia Stiles,
yeah.
Heath Ledger. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in this.
Yep.
And what's her name? Alex Mack is in this. This movie has a crazy cast and everybody is famous. And I've never seen this, but I do know that it's based on Taming of the Shrew loosely based on Taming of the Shrew.
Right.
And that's about all I know about it. And I think they might have shown me, I was the first acting I ever did for, like, on stage was a scene from Taming of the Shrew.
Really?
And I think this might have been a movie they were like, and now we're gonna watch 10 Things I Hate About You because this is the fun way to make you guys understand
the high school version.
Yeah, this is how we can get you to care about
this. It's like
this.
The high school Spark Notes version of Shakespeare.
Right. So I know a lot about this movie. I've seen clips of the ending with, I know Julia Stiles gives her big rousing emotional speech at the end. I've seen Heath Ledger do a dance routine in the football stands.
Yeah.
So I know that. And but that's really the extent of my knowledge. So do you remember when you first saw this?
I think I saw it in theaters.
Okay. In 1999? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's PG-13.
Yeah.
So you could see this.
I'm pretty sure I saw it with my best friend, Emily. We were also really obsessed with this film. So we saw it a lot. And then we rented it a lot.
Did you just want to see it because you'd heard about it? Or were you like, oh my God, who's this
Heath
Ledger hunk?
So I think there was buzz generated like immediately about Heath Ledger and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And I was really boy obsessed. And my friend Emily was very boy obsessed. Probably more than I was. But you know those like pop magazines that they used to have? Like they were in those magazines and it was just all like little adolescent boys, shirtless boys.
As somebody who is also boy obsessed, I'm kind of shocked that this slipped past my radar, but continue.
When did this come out?
1999. 20 years old.
So
it's
I would have.
2019.
I'm not 100% sure I saw it in theaters, but I have this memory that I did, so I'm going to go with it. But I definitely saw it on VHS.
And you loved it. So you saw it at a movie theater and they played it for you on a VHS
tape.
That's
correct.
Is my
Back
understanding.
In 1990, that's
so
how
far,
they did that.
This is how I understand how movies work.
No, I just got like crazy boy obsessed over this film. Like I was in love with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I kind of still am. And I just, that was like the beginning of my obsession with him. That was like his first movie.
Yeah.
He didn't even do 30 Rock until afterwards.
Let's not forget Angels in the Outfield. That was, I think, maybe his first and still to this day best movie ever.
Sure.
No one would ever dare argue with me about that.
Have you seen Brick?
JGL has not really done anything since Angels in the Outfield.
Not much.
But he was too cool for Angels in the End Zone, the made-for-television sequel. And I'm still not over that, but that's okay.
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, now you know. I'm sure our audience is thrilled now that they know and they can check it out. Go to YouTube and do yourself a favor. This is a movie you love. It's a favorite movie?
Yeah, it's like a pure sugary rom-com that I just adore.
Okay. and
hits have all you, the notes.
When was the last time you saw it?
Like 3 or 4 years ago, not that long ago.
Okay,
but probably
and it still holds up.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. You know, so take that for what it is, because I know my versions of things are a little different than yours.
Do you think I'm going to enjoy it?
I think you probably will. Okay. Like, it's very sweet without feeling.
Is Sam Levine in this movie from Freaks and Geeks? I feel like he's in a teen movie from around this time, and I want it to be this movie because I love him. No, he's not. What a shame. That's okay. There must be another one I'm thinking of.
I'm sure.
It's like Can't Hardly Wait, I think. Is that
with
the one
Jennifer
with Jennifer
Love
Hewitt?
I never saw that.
I don't think it's the closest similarity.
Missing Frames quality.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but it's a teen movie. And all these guys are in love with this one girl, Jennifer Love Hewitt. So.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow.
But I think Sam Levine might be in that one, not this one. But a lot of movies like that came out, it feels like, around this time.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were triggered by this movie or if it was just a natural, like, everything kind of just happened to be right around this. Because doesn't it feel like a bunch of those kinds of movies came out around this time?
Yeah, because right now they're making a resurgence. Like Netflix is doing a lot of rom-coms, like old school, and I'm loving it. So
I mean, it's cool. It's cool.
No, it was great though. I loved it then. I love it now whenever I see it on screen. And now, you know, since Heath Ledger has passed, there's a little bittersweet. It's such a happy, sweet, fun role for
him
too.
A lot of people, you know, The Dark Knight wasn't out yet when he passed away.
Right.
But a lot of people still to this day, I think, point to this movie even more so than The Dark Knight in terms of just
he's
like,
young too.
I mean, it depends on the demographic, obviously.
Right.
Like people like me are like, oh, The Dark Knight, that monumental performance. But a lot of, I think, fans who had already known his work beforehand really jumped.
He's incredibly charming and charismatic. And it's just like Heath Ledger, you know, he's so good in it. And he has great chemistry with Julia Stiles. And Julia Stiles is another person that I don't really see much anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, she pops up here and there.
She's in the Bourne movies.
That's true.
She was in Jason Bourne.
That's true.
She got killed in the first 20 minutes. Sorry to spoil that for everybody. But trust me, watching that's not going to make you as upset as actually watching the movie. So
when I loved her, I don't know when Save the Last Dance came out, but I feel like there was this Julia Stiles heyday where it's like she was in a lot of stuff.
I feel like it was either kicked off by this.
I think so, too. Well, because this movie, I'm pretty sure, kicked off all three of their careers. I don't think they were names before this film. And this film gave them a trajectory. And also, I don't know if you know, but they did a Freeform, or not Freeform, when it was ABC Family, they did a spinoff TV show.
And oh, no, I didn't.
It was all new cast except the dad, which I cannot remember the actor's name, but that dad is in the TV show, and it lasted one or two seasons. I did watch it.
Was it good?
It was fine, but you know, you're just playing the comparison game, and it's like you have the real thing that's so amazing. You know, the TV show is a little more campy and not as sincere,
okay.
I think. So it was fine. I'm not surprised it got canceled after, you know, one or two seasons.
Me neither.
But it was just, it was just odd that, you know.
Yeah.
I think the director of the movie did the TV show, though.
That's interesting. I was looking up the director, and this is, I think, his first movie. He'd done a lot of TV stuff, and it's like his only movie. Like, I was looking through the rest of his filmography, and it's his name's Gil Junger, I want to say Junger because Junger feels wrong to me.
It's probably Junger.
But he did 10 Things I Hate About You, Black Knight with Martin Lawrence. I think that is what
Cameron
that is.
Diaz in that.
I don't know. I hope so.
Am I thinking? Oh, I'm thinking
no,
Night
you're
and Day.
Thinking, yes,
I'm going a totally different
Tom
direction.
Cruise, yes, but yeah, just looking at this.
So he directed a lot of my favorite episodes of TV shows.
Yeah, he did
Greek,
of TV.
Which is an old favorite of mine, which I think was also an ABC Family show.
Interesting that he kind of steered away from features after this and then Black Knight, because
well,
I think
this,
they both did
wasn't
relatively,
this pretty successful?
Yeah, the Black Knight wasn't, but this was. So yeah, that is it's interesting, but okay. I mean, I've kind of wanted to watch this movie.
Kind of. Well,
yeah,
I bought it, so
you own it. So we have it and we're going to do it. And I know this is something that people love. So I've heard enough about it that my interest is piqued. I don't know if I'm super excited, but I am looking forward to watching it.
Good. good.
So let's go and watch it.
Alrighty.
Now available to own on video cassette.
And we're back. We've just watched 10 Things I Hate About You. Sarah, I enjoyed this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yay.
A very sweet movie.
It
it's
is.
Not great. It has issues.
Sure.
But there's an underlying sweetness.
Yeah.
And there's an energy to it and a sense of fun. And I found it very charming.
I just love all the actors in this movie,
I think
too.
They make it.
Like, what a cast.
I think the script is okay. I think if I have any big problem with the movie overall is that it's mostly surface level. Like, mm-hmm. all the characters are types. They don't feel genuine in a lot of ways. I think the genuine nature and the sincerity of the film comes from the performances. And a lot of, like, it's very, very high school. Like, it's a very, like,
yes,
oh, it's a high school
sure.
movie. This guy likes this girl. Why does he like her? Because she's pretty. And here's the jerk who wants to get laid. And here's the hot guy who's, like, a total badass, but he's got a heart of gold. It's, like, every single kind of cliche and trope. And very, the movie never transcends the tropes and the cliches, but it benefits so much from their cast.
Yes.
Because the cast is so good. And I, this is actually, I don't think I've seen Heath Ledger in anything other than The Dark Knight, which is
wow.
crazy. He was in I'm Not There. He played one of the Bob Dylan roles in that. It's a movie about Bob Dylan where like six different actors played Bob Dylan, including Christian Bale, strangely
oh.
enough. So Christian Bale and Heath Ledger were in I'm Not There playing different versions of Bob Dylan, along with Cate Blanchett and Richard Gere
right.
is in it, and Ben Whishaw. But I think it took me a second because I'm so used to Ledger as the Joker,
yeah.
which is an iconic performance. And it's funny to remember a time where people were so like, "Oh my God, Heath Ledger is the Joker. It's over," and that was also my Joker impression. I just realized that was a pretty decent Heath
well
Ledger
done.
Joker impression. But I, a lot of that I think stems from this movie and thinking of him as kind of.
And A Knight's Tale and other kind of rom-com-esque
yeah, and
stuff he did.
Only just started transitioning into more.
Serious roles.
Yeah.
Or
like
dramatic.
Brokeback Mountain had just happened.
Yes.
I'm Not There had. They might have been happening right around the same time, I feel like. I kind of get that, but you watch him in this movie and you can sense, and I'm sure if I had seen this movie first years before The Dark Knight, I would never have thought about like, oh, that guy is going to be a great Joker someday or a great dramatic actor. But he has a charisma and a presence to him that I mean, he was the highlight for
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he's gorgeous.
He is.
Gorgeous man.
Again, I'm so used to seeing him as the Joker. I had a weird moment where I was like, oh my God, he's the Joker.
Yeah.
In this movie, you said, you're like, this might be the only movie where he uses his native accent.
Yeah, and don't quote me, but from what I've seen, I don't know what else he would have used. He's either American or British.
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
And he is, so he's very.
And this was his first, like. American movie, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like
so he had only done
role.
Australian, like, what, soap operas or something like that. He had done some stuff, but not in the U.S.
Right. And nothing like this where it
no.
was like, now he's a big heartthrob.
No, and this was like a huge breakout role for like all the characters, pretty much.
Everybody.
They became like household names after this and went on to do like, you know, more 90s rom-coms and stuff like that.
It doesn't surprise me at all
yeah.
because they're all very charming.
Yeah.
But he in particular, it was very strange because he is so good as the Joker. So to see him playing essentially the straight guy,
mm-hmm.
like the straight man, like character, like he's basically himself. He's got quirks, but he's basically just a normal
yeah.
guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was so fascinating.
Yeah.
And it just made me appreciate
That's
him
so cool because it's
the more.
Most people, like you said, like watched him in that and then saw the progression.
It's,
so
it's probably
see,
the reverse.
Yeah.
They had the reverse reaction.
Right, exactly.
Where, like,
they're
everyone
like, wait,
was,
what
like,
the
shocked,
heck?
Like, oh my God, he's the Joker.
Well, we're almost like reliving that a little bit because they just announced Robert Pattinson is going to be Batman.
It's this very
and
similar
it's like
situation.
A Twilight,
yeah.
you know, and then now, so it's just interesting.
It is. And I think that he's the standout performance, but it was almost like I was getting a little emotional during his You're Too Good to Be True scene. Yeah. Just to watch this amazing talent. So natural. It was very, very moving.
Yeah.
Very moving performance. You know who I was kind of on board with her by the end, but Julia Stiles was a little awkward for me.
Oh, I liked her.
I don't know if it's her. I think it's a combination of Kat, the character she's playing, is like very... It's like late 90s feminist, which is also, I guess, 21st century feminist, but like really intense, like, oh, I don't have time for this. And obnoxious, like for a while, it's like, well, I don't even like her. And I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've read Taming of the Shrew. I don't know how unlikable Kat is. I know she's generally unlikable in that play, which is why the whole thing is like, oh my gosh, you have to date her. You, how can you do that? So, it was hard early on because she like has all these witty, snappy punchlines and like it's gonna come
she's
back
like
for
the
everyone.
OG Jessica
she's
Jones.
She's like, why can't we read more Sylvia Plath and da da da? And it's just like, oh god, okay. But Julia Stiles is almost a little too nonchalant. And the way she delivers some of the lines, like she's very, like she has this kind of voice where she talks like this and she's very, oh yeah, why can't we read Sylvia Plath? And she's almost like bored, it feels like. So she
I don't know. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah.
That's you. Sorry.
Yeah, it's me. it was hard to.
I mean, she is unlikable and she is snotty, but it's like she's supposed to be because then you see her character start to, her walls start to come down over. And then you find out why, which we'll get into later, like why she's so protective of herself and. Yeah. Kind of bratty to people.
Yeah, and that was the other thing I think I would complain about overall is because the movie is so surface level and it has this kind of sense of zany fun that the script doesn't really provide a strong reason. Like, for me, I never bought into their relationship as far as it working from both their perspectives. He's like kind of a grungy guy who doesn't care about anything, and then they're like, we're going to pay you money to hang out with this girl. She's super feminist, doesn't want to date a guy, and they fall in love. I didn't buy them falling in love. The actors were strong enough that I was able to like be like, oh, I like seeing them together, but I never saw the moment. Like, and I could see the script telling me,
but not even the swing set scene. Because for me, that was always the point where I was like, ah, he's catching feelings.
He's sweet. But
she's starting to see him in a different light.
Yeah. He goes to the concert and he sees her dancing and he's kind of like, oh, she's not so bad. She's can let
loose
a little
bit. Well, she's always
been
attractive. So it's like, you know, it's not like she's an unattractive person. So I think initially they're both attractive people.
I think I wanted to see a little bit more reasoning on their parts. Like I didn't believe it because I never felt like they gave a reason why, you know. It's I know the movie was telling me, it's like, well, this scene is the scene where they're going to open up a little bit to each other and they're both great in the scene, but it just felt so calculated to me that I never fully bought into like their relationship being a sincere thing.
Disagree.
So we'll move on from that, but that those are my big issues I think with the movie. But it kicks off right away with One Week by Bare Naked Ladies, and I was like, oh my god, that's
like,
right,
I'm in.
That was a song that
I know, it's such a
90s.
Throwback to like, and like the 90s fashion is always so weird to me. I'm just like, oh my god, I wore these like butterfly clips in your hair and lots of barrettes for women, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's
just
like
wall to
wall 90s music. So
yes.
It was very very much of that era, and like a very like, the movie's PG-13, but they get away with a couple pretty like raunchy.
There's a lot of sexual innuendo for sure.
Or like
in this
the
film.
Opening scene is the counselor talking about certain body parts.
Yeah, she's writing a dirty novel like on her spare time.
The movie's sense of humor is really fantastic.
Yes,
I mean the actors are so good at delivering the punchlines, but there are some really good ones. The dad, who I can't remember the actor's name, I wish I did.
Oh, I can't either. And earlier when I talked about, so he is in the TV show.
Yes,
he's like
the only
character
one who made
actor
it into the TV show.
Yeah, probably because everyone's career took off. Honestly,
right. So, but he is he's so good. Like, he's kind of a quintessential dad, and he. Everything he says is funny.
Hilarious.
The scene where he's watching the hair loss commercial and he goes, huh, it's very interesting. I can't remember what he says, but he didn't even have to. Honestly,
well, his facial expressions just said it all.
It's Larry Miller. That's his name.
Larry Miller,
so
yep.
He's great. And he's been in tons of stuff. Mm-hmm. And he has that moment where he, I almost wish he hadn't said anything, because I feel like his expression was so perfect that it would have been fantastic on its own. But he's done a lot of stuff like with Christopher Guest, like Best in Show.
Oh, really?
And Mighty Wind. So that's what I'm most familiar with. But he has been all over the place. But I really liked what's his name? I said in the pre-show, I was like, isn't Sam Levine, who plays Neil Schreiber in Freaks and Geeks, in the show? No, he's not. But you know who is in this movie is what's his name? David Krumholtz. I may have pronounced that incorrectly, but he plays Neil's older brother, Barry, I believe the character's name is.
You were so close.
I was so excited about it, because this so Freaks and Geeks came out in 1999. This movie came out in 1999. This movie also opens with 1 week, but then transitions into Bad Reputation by Joan Jett, mm-hmm. which frankly, the only high school related thing that should ever be seen in is Freaks and Geeks. But I was okay. I was like, it's okay. It's I'll give it a pass.
It's an homage.
It's an homage. It's an homage is homage. What it is. But they had that in there. And then when they cut to him, I was like, man, it's a Freaks and Geeks party all over the place. But I was close. I liked him a lot. I think he's just very naturally.
He's very funny.
I would like to see him in more things. I feel like I see him in a lot, but it's never enough. I want to see him in all the things. Is he in New Girl? Is he in New Girl, or am I thinking of somebody else?
I don't think so.
He kind of looks like
the guy from New
Girl. I only
saw the
first
two seasons, though, so I could be.
Okay. If it's not the main character.
No, not Schmidt. Are you thinking of Schmidt?
Yeah.
That's a different person.
That's Jake Johnson, right?
No, Jake Johnson is the other guy.
I don't know any of these people. This shows how little I know about this world. This world has given me so much. And then, of course, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And he's a little dweeby, sweet kid.
I was so in love with him when this came out. Like, I think he's one of my first big crushes.
Me too.
Yeah?
Yeah, Angels in the Outfield. I'm telling you, that movie really moved me. But I wish the movie just had a little bit more of, it needed on a script level to have a little bit more of a emotional core. The performances bring it, but it's like you look at like John Hughes movies, because this is kind of every high school movie of this ilk is trying to be John Hughes.
Yeah.
And John Hughes, the difference between his movies is even like Pretty in Pink, there's like for the main character, I don't remember the girl's name, but Molly Ringwald, her character is sincere and her emotions are genuine and everything's very stylized and there are very extreme characterizations and racial stereotypes and like zany things happening. But there's like an anchor of like this girl just wants, she's in love with this guy and she's very genuine. So the movie, not that things aren't genuine and we don't get genuine moments, but it feels like the script is so concerned with like we've got to be entertaining and fun and snappy, and the direction kind of follows suit. Like it's very like the camera's moving all around, it's wall-to-wall pop music. Like it's like if we stop for 1 second to breathe, we'll lose the audience. And I wanted a little bit more, because it's hard to relate to some of these relationships, again, beyond a surface level. You have Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, he's in love with Bianca. But like he just sees her one day and he's like, oh my God, she's beautiful. And she's also like really.
But you have to. This is high school. This is how it is. It's insta love. It's kind of dumb, but that's how my crushes happened when I was like 15.
100% me too. But for a movie, you need to provide you want to root for them. Like this is.
I rooted for them.
You root for them because they're like adorable people. But it's like she starts off the movie as like ditzy and really like vapid. They call her vapid.
Yeah.
And she is vapid.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, she just kind of switches and she's all of a sudden in love with him. Like I didn't see the transition. I see him doing sweet things for her, but she is so like, what's your name? Carl? No, Cameron. You know, but like she kind of just uses him. And then on a flip, there's like a random moment again where the script says now they're going to be together. And he's like, you're just so beautiful and you deserve better than that. And then she kisses him and they're together. And again, I was like, if there could have just been a little bit more of emotional depth to this, that really would have, I would have been really like, yes, I'm so happy for them. So it's like, it's hard for me because there's
a lot. That's fair. I don't really care because I think I just loved it immediately when I saw it. So I love it blindly now. So I'm like, whatever. I love
so
it.
So it's still.
I ship it.
It's still.
Oh, yeah.
Up.
For me, yes. Like, are you making excellent points? Of course. But it's like, it doesn't. It doesn't matter.
Said, of course.
Of course.
As if it's
are.
A natural thing for
yeah.
me to make
well,
excellent points.
Well, if you guys
points.
Know Sean. He's always on top
Boy,
of his game.
Don't you wish you do if you don't already?
No, I just mean that I'm like, you know, I'm ultra forgiving for stuff that I've loved for a really long time, especially like rom-coms like this. And I was like a pre-teenager or a teenager. I was like 13, I think, when this came out, or a little before.
This is
so,
it's a really great movie. It's very clearly like it was your demographic for sure.
Absolutely.
Like young girls.
Yeah.
Cute young
boys.
Teenage girls. Cute
yep.
boys.
Fun
like
music. Girl rock.
Women. Like,
yeah.
Things like that.
100%.
I was going to say, personally, I wish it was a little less manipulative, but I can see I really understand why young girls latched on so strongly to this, mm-hmm. especially Julia Stiles' character to have this
yeah.
like example of like, she's like, I don't care at all.
Yeah.
Which is, again, it's weird because she's so staunchly feminist and so staunchly, I don't want romance. I needed her.
But
to
a lot
open
of
up.
That does stem from the bad experience she
we
had.
Find that out so much later
yes.
in the movie, though. I wanted a little bit more humanizing moments with her in the beginning. And then I would have maybe bought into their relationship a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think that was the problem. And that's not her fault. That's not Julia Stiles' fault. It's the fault of the script itself for not planting those moments.
Don't blame my friend Julia.
Beat up this movie.
I know.
It
you're like, hey, I like
sick.
This. Hold on. I'm going to take
it.
20 minutes
I
to complain
like it.
About it.
Well, it is the
10 things I hated about this movie.
10
Go.
Things I hate about this movie. One, not Heath Ledger.
No.
But no. Well, the thing is, the movie, despite the movie has numerous flaws from my perspective, but this at the same time, like I said, the energy of it and the sweetness propels us along.
It keeps
along.
It going, yeah.
Everyone is so likable.
Yes.
That's important to me.
Very.
I will give a movie a pass if your characters are at least likable. And in this case, it's not the characters, it's the actors. And I've... Again, the actors are a crucial part of making your characters likable, mm-hmm. and that's what made the movie worth watching. Like, it is funny. The script it's not like a terrible script. I know I'm beating up on the script. I think the character beats and emotions could have been a little more genuine, but the dialogue is real snappy. It's got a lot of great punchlines. There are a lot of great visual gags. I wish I could think of one I'm thinking of right now is when he's the dad is outside with the exercise of stretching and she's like, I'm going to prom,
and
he
snaps it
off, and then they have their whole scene, and then at the end of the scene the thing gets tossed into his pool and he just goes, thanks Bill, and that's the end of the scene. I thought that was so funny. There are a lot of really great
yes.
moments like that. Yeah. I'm actually a little I wish we could just say, hey Gil Junger, come on out and let's interview you, the director of this film, and he'd first say no, I will not come on out because you mispronounced my name. You butchered it, you jerk. But I would love to talk to him because, again, there's some awkwardness in the direction. Some of the editing is a little weird. Like, there were beats early on where characters would react and the pacing was a little off. Like, it would show someone saying something. It would cut to the actor reacting and it would play out a little too long.
I gotcha.
That's just my film snobbery and my, like, just tuning into those things. But I would love to talk to him about why he got out of film. Like, we talked about...
Well, he still did TV, correct?
He did, but
he did some of my favorite episodes of Greek. The
yeah.
TV show Greek.
I wonder...
And I didn't even know until I looked it up later on.
It looks like he did a lot of television. Mm-hmm. The last thing he did was KC Undercover in 2017.
It sounds like a Disney movie or something.
It is a Disney
movie. Oh, yeah.
Zendaya was in it.
Oh, I'm so good at this.
Yeah, it was... but I would love
made
to...
Made for TV.
I
Disney.
Would love to be able to have him out on the show to say, like, what happened? Why was he so... Why did he decide to stop making movies? Because the movie was a modest success. Not a huge success, but it made money. It was enough to kind of kick off these young kids' careers. And on a $16 million budget, it made almost $54
yeah,
million.
So not bad at all.
So
for
a profit.
Yeah.
Technically a success. And I wonder why he decided not to. And I bring that up only because I felt like the movie was very well put together. There was some stuff that felt very like, oh yeah, a television director made this. Some of the staging and the shots were a little bland and a little static. But there were also some really cool, fun ideas he had, the way he would pace things, the way he would film certain things and shoot certain things. And it just makes me wonder what happened to him. I wish I knew. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page. I wish I had something I could say, but he directed Black Knight and the movie If Only. With Jennifer Love Hewitt, and that movie bombed. So maybe that was what stopped it. Maybe he decided he was done with that. I don't know. I thought he did a really good job with this. But what are things that you noticed this time around that maybe you didn't pick up on your last viewing?
I don't know. I've seen this movie a lot. Like, I don't... There's something I picked up maybe a couple years ago that now when I see it, I'm like, aw. So did you notice in the prom scene that Julia Stiles' character Kat, she's wearing the pearls? Her mother's pearls.
Oh, no.
So that means her sister gave them to her. Because remember, that was like a point of contention.
Where was that scene?
That was in the movie.
The
girl- oh, no. It's just a subtle thing they put in where it's like she shows up with Patrick and she's wearing the pearls.
The sister give her the pearls.
Yeah, we didn't get that. But obviously,
see,
there's...
those are the moments I needed.
Maybe they cut it. I don't know. But like someone, I think I read it on like a BuzzFeed article, like five, you know, when the anniversary happened. I was like, oh, my God, what a cool thing. Like, you know, so I think that's really neat. I don't know if there's anything really new, to be honest.
You pointed out something to me. So,
Heath Ledger, I knew like half information on this.
Yes, Heath Ledger performs Can't Take My Eyes Off of You.
Right.
It's great. It's probably the best part of the movie. And something funny for all you nerdy, nerdy peeps out there, Heath Ledger is not the only person who's played a Batman villain to have performed that song in a movie.
Yeah.
So Michelle Pfeiffer performed Can't Take My Eyes Off of You in The Fabulous Baker Boys. She played Catwoman in Batman Returns. And also Christopher Walken in The Deer Hunter sings this song. And he played Max Schreck in Batman Returns.
That's
as well.
That's so nuts.
He has my my favorite line in Batman Returns.
What's that?
Which is after, I'm going to spoil Batman Returns, everybody. And this is a little teaser because we've got a really exciting episode coming up where Brad Gullickson and Aaron Prescott of Rest in Pictures Podcast and I are going to go through the four Batman movies, the original four by Tim Burton and Schumacher. So this is a little teaser. But my favorite line from Batman Returns, a movie I loathe with all my being, is Christopher Walken says, he's like, Selina, you Catwoman? You fired. And then he looks at Bruce Wayne because Bruce has peeled off his mask because Catwoman's like, I'm Selina. And he's like, I'm Bruce. We can love each other. He looks at Bruce and he goes, Bruce, why the hell are you dressed like Batman? I don't know why. I don't know. She goes, you fool. He is Batman. And he goes, was. And he shoots him.
Oh, no.
That has nothing to do with 10 Things I Hate About You, but I wanted to sneak that reference into... I try to sneak that line into every aspect of my life, and I'm glad I could find a way to get it into this episode. I'm sure if you listen to this and then listen to the Batman episode, you'll hear me say it again. I can't do a Christopher Walken impression except when I'm saying that line. That's the
Mouse.
Only time I can do it. Bruce, why the hell are you dressed like
Mouse.
Batman? Like, if I were to try That's to do it do. Otherwise, I feel like I couldn't do it. And maybe
did
the
he
audience,
do the more cowbell thing?
Yeah. I've got a fever and the only prescription is more cowbell. Yes. So maybe that impression isn't good and I'm deluding myself.
I think Christopher Walken is hijacking this podcast.
I think
right
he
now.
is great. So Christopher Walken, I thought, gave a really great performance in 10 Things I Hate About You.
He was the highlight.
What else? What else can we say? Can we do 10 Things We Love About This Movie?
Heath Ledger.
Between us? Heath Ledger. All right.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Two.
Julia Stiles. I was going to keep listening to the cast.
See, because the cast is great. What's his name? David. Why can't I pronounce it? Because I can't.
Who's the model?
Oh, my God.
Let's
talk
about
Andrew
him.
Andrew Keegan.
Yes, I couldn't remember his name. He's
wonderful. He plays
wonderful.
Joey. And he is the slimy dirtball who is...
He's so good.
Trying to get laid all the time.
Yeah.
But he is so funny. That was another one of my favorite visual gags. And again, a reason why I really liked... I thought the director was really funny. He had a moment where he's like, I have a couple modeling shots. Let me show you. And he's like, which one do you like more? He's like, this one. And he has a shot of him posing in a black shirt. He's like, or this one. And he has a shot of him posing in the exact same way in a white shirt. He's like, which one do you think I look better in? And it's just like, he looks identical. But he's so slimy. But he's so funny that you love to hate. He's
oh, I
love
loved him.
That's
yeah.
a part that could have been really like, I see another
he's
scenario.
He's perfectly cast.
Yeah, I see another scenario where I watch this movie and I'm like, oh my God, this guy is so annoying and obnoxious and gross. And he is gross, but he's like, the guy is just so funny.
Well, he's dumb as a box of rocks. Yes. So it's like that helps it. You
I'm
know?
Trying to think of a great
He's like
moment.
Always looking in a mirror and like posing for all the women and they're all fawning. I mean, it's just great. He's yeah. such a dummy.
And I of course, I think if we were to do, if we're continuing 10 Things I Love About This Movie and talking about favorite scenes, I think the Heath Ledger dance song and dance routine is uh-huh. probably my highlight, but I think the close second was the 10 Things I Hate About You poem.
Yes,
at the end, yeah. which was it was.
I
only,
teared up again. Yeah, it gets me very, every time.
Very good.
You and know that was. I think that was one shot, and her crying just happened naturally.
It was one take,
and it was like, oh, because yep. it's this the emotional gut punch at the end, and so you're just
the
like,
movie
oof.
Almost doesn't deserve that moment. The yeah. moment is too good
but
for this
God
movie.
Thank God it's in there. Like yeah. you know what I mean. Like it really just wraps up the whole thing, and it's just really. Sincere.
Speaking of wrapping up the whole thing, I did not realize the movie literally wrapped up in the next
yeah
scene.
Well, it's a short, it's like an hour and a half in change,
very
something
short.
Like that,
but so she does that, and I thought there was going to be maybe a little bit more of a drawn out resolution where what's his name Heath Ledger has to kind of oh yeah I'll get her back, but it's immediate, like in yeah. the next scene it's like I bought you a guitar, by the way, are we back together? Yes, we're back together, but I'm also mad at you, and then they kiss and then it's the end, and I was like, oh my God. Trying to think of
high
school. I feel like there's another movie that happened recently that we watched where it's just like the movie's over and
I feel like that happens pretty frequently.
Yeah.
In this style of romantic comedy.
Maybe it is.
Especially high school.
High school wasn't over fast enough for me. No, that's not true. I actually am one of the weird people who really enjoyed my high school experience. But I really, that is a perfect example of a movie, this movie really benefiting from the performances, and also Julia Stiles, who's been kind of just like
she just pops up here and there.
Yeah, well,
lately.
she was awkward for a good chunk of this movie. I felt like she was awkward. Some of her line deliveries were off, but then she has these like little moments, and that moment especially is a yeah. very powerful.
Well, if you're gonna choose moment. A moment to knock it out of the park as an actor, yeah. it's like yeah,
yes.
she did it, and she was obviously people were impressed with her enough. To start casting her in movies.
Right.
That,
and she
you know,
did Save the Last Dance.
Yeah, which I mean.
Because
I,
she did the table
yeah,
dance.
Yeah, and
this.
People are like, oh, snap, you can actually dance.
Yeah, she had a whole scene where she dances on a table and yeah. everyone was like, we can make
that's
her the
one
lead.
Of my other favorite things. If
her
we're
dancing.
Still counting. Oh, and the English teacher is wonderful.
Yeah, but she only shows up for.
No, the English teacher.
Oh, oh,
yeah,
oh.
The Shakespeare.
What is that actor's name? Daryl Mitchell.
He is like a national
is
treasure.
One of my favorite people.
Yeah.
He was in Galaxy Quest.
Oh, so I was trying to figure out what I've seen him in. So maybe that's
Galaxy
it.
Quest, I believe, is celebrating a 20th anniversary this
Ooh,
year as well. And that is.
That's such a good movie.
One of the best movies, ladies and gentlemen.
Ever.
Yes. 20 years. I'm going to find somebody to do that movie with because Galaxy Quest is a masterpiece. And top three Star Trek movies of all time. But he is in that movie and he's fantastic. He was also in Sergeant Bilko, which nobody talks about.
I've never
because
seen that.
Apparently the movie's terrible, but I grew up with it and I think it's amazing. And he is like the
what is it about?
Sergeant Bilko, it's based on a TV series where it was like a sergeant who basically is like, doesn't care, slacks off all the time, runs a gambling thing through his army rig, but he's basically like goofing off and trying, he and his whole team are trying not to get caught the entire time. Well, I'll show you clips from it when we're done here, but it's so funny. Steve Martin plays Sergeant Bilko and he's
oh, nice.
Great. The movie is apparently not very good, but I find it hilarious. And he comes in, Daryl comes in and plays like the straight character of like, what are you guys doing? He's like the audience surrogate. He's like, you can't do this. We're in the army. And it's like, we don't care. But he's great in that too. So Daryl Mitchell is so, he's another
so
great.
Freaking funny.
He's so funny. When she's like, oh, I'm really excited for this assignment. He goes, get out.
Yeah, get out of this
get
class.
Out of my class. Get out of my class. He's very good. A really great, again, this is, that to me is the lesson learned from this movie is there's, you can get away with a lot if you have a great cast kind of backing mm-hmm. you up.
Well, they all have a lot of chemistry. And I'm pretty sure Heath Ledger and Julia Stiles, they dated during this whole movie.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Yeah. And you can kind of tell. Well, we were watching when they roll the credits. They're obviously.
Yeah, there's a blooper reel.
Yeah. Like more intimate with one yeah. another. And it's like, oh, yeah, y'all dated for sure.
So is there anything about this that you recognize that doesn't hold up as well or isn't.
I don't know. I'm telling you, I just have a big old blind spot for this film. I really do. I'm trying to just
be more
critical.
Well, let me tell
you
about all the things I didn't like.
No, we've already done that part
of
the show.
I would never. I apologize.
No, I mean, I can recognize that some stuff is maybe a little sillier or could use improvement, but it doesn't bother me at all. I still love this film for exactly every frame of it. Like, it's just great, and I love it, and it makes me happy. And it makes me really nostalgic, and it makes me really sad about Heath Ledger, honestly.
Yeah, me
it's
too.
It's like, it's hard to watch.
That was
people
I was
gone
not
too
expecting
soon,
to
know?
Get emotional yeah. during his song and dance number, which is played as a big, that to me felt like watching, here's one of the great actors of our time.
Yeah.
And this is him breaking through.
Yeah.
I'm almost getting choked up.
I am too. Stop looking at me. I'm going to cry.
It's a really great
oh,
scene.
Oh, God.
That scene, I feel like you should watch. Everyone should watch it. And
oh, yeah.
Try
it's
not
on
to
YouTube.
Get emotional. You could
can
watch
find
that
it.
On its own and yeah. get choked up by it.
Are we going to edit this by crying? I'm tearing up. Oh, God.
So is there anything else? Is there anything else we want to add
I
about
10
things I hate about you? I feel like we've gone through about everything we can. I like the way they included silly, but they have a lot of Shakespeare references.
Yeah,
the
they
movie,
had to.
Which was fun.
What's the one that Cameron says?
He
Cameron
says,
James.
Oh, there's the line he has that specifically.
I blank. What
yes,
is it?
He
I
says,
burn, I bleed.
I burn, I yeah, whatever that line
remember.
Was.
So that's
was
right from the
actually from
the play.
I burn, I pine, I perish.
Yes, so
that's a direct quote from yeah. Taming of the Shrew. And yeah, so.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Also, what's his name? Cameron James. James Cameron.
Oh, my God.
But also, I think they did that on purpose, of course.
Another fun fact is this is Karen McCullough and Kirsten Smith. They co-wrote the screenplay.
Yeah,
they
did Legally Blonde.
To write
oh,
Legally
I'm sorry.
Blonde.
I'm taking your.
No,
I was
okay.
like, this is
I
something
know
I
that.
Know.
I'm reading this right now on yeah. IMDb. That's fantastic. I'm looking through to see.
Wait, have you seen Legally Blonde?
Yes, but it's been a long time. Oh. And I remember really liking it.
We should
it.
Watch that again because yeah. I love that movie so much.
Yeah,
it's really fun.
There are a couple fun Batman connections, obviously. The mm-hmm. one we mentioned about the song, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is Robin in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, right.
Heath Ledger is the Joker in The Dark Knight. And then there's a Jared Leto reference. Someone
oh, yeah,
because
the
Jared
picture
Leto.
In her drawer.
Yeah, she's like, oh, Bianca has a photo. Or not Bianca, Kat
yeah,
has a Kat. Photo of Jared Leto
yeah,
in her drawer.
Yeah, because they're saying she likes pretty boys.
So
and they're like, it's obviously.
Apparently has a type. And yeah. that type is actors who have played the Joker. So there you got that.
Oh, and the Dawson's River reference
yes,
is Dawson's Creek. And obviously Heath Ledger.
That was my favorite
was
Batman
connected
reference.
With Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
And they had a child together.
That's interesting.
Years later.
Connections
Very.
Like lots of this movie is
the Kevin
the
Bacon thing
yes it's the Kevin Bacon of cinema
yeah
so because Kevin Bacon apparently is not the Kevin Bacon of cinema but why does anyone know why Kevin Bacon is it just the fact that you connect the dots to Kevin Bacon somebody made that a thing and now that's the reference we use
I feel
whatever.
Like it started as that email chain that's like if you don't forward this to 400 people yeah. the boogeyman will eat you
yeah I think Kevin Bacon is the Kevin Bacon of email chains as well but this is so yeah this is a good movie I guess final ratings on a scale of 1 to 5what should our rating scale be 1 to 5
oh
shrews,
gosh, shrews
1 to 5 sonnets 1 to 5 on a scale of 1 to 5 things you hate about me
about Sean
how many would you give this on a scale of 1 to 5
a solid 4
4 okay
yeah.
I'll give it a solid 3
And it's fair.
That's fair enough.
I'm glad you liked it. I caught you laughing a bunch. I was
it
like,
was,
well, that's
I,
a good sign.
It got some
sign.
Genuine laughs out of me. Yeah. It is very genuinely funny.
Whenever there's a movie that I love and you haven't seen, I'm always like watching and then sneaking peeks
that's
at
usually,
you to see your reaction.
If I'm laughing at a movie, that's typically
that's
a
good
sign.
Yes. That's
although,
I'm like,
although
oh, I'm in
I did,
the safe.
I did laugh a lot at Shazam and I don't like that movie at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, but our laughter was... Maybe
some of it
not
was,
as
was
directed
not
at the comedy
intended by the movie, but Zachary Levi's great. That's
He's
another
wonderful.
Again another completely. This movie
like
has inspired so
tangents.
Many different topics and tangents. But
I'm still crying.
I know. I
I've
mean,
been
that's
laughing and crying.
Heath Ledger. I mean, what a wonderful human being.
Oh man,
really, really great in this movie. So I yeah, that's it. So thank you so much for listening,
thanks
Sarah.
For
thanks
watching.
So much for showing.
I'm so happy.
Yeah,
about
thank
this.
You for showing this to me. And people, if you like what you're hearing, feel free to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Give us 5 things you hate about us on iTunes. That would make us so thrilled. And you can find me on Twitter at Yay Sean Dorman if you want to chat with me about this movie. I know you're all dying to do so. Sarah, where can people find you?
With Love Alone on Twitter.
And if you want to, you can also check out thenerdparty.com. That is the network that Missing Frames is a part of. There's tons of great podcasts on there. Writing podcasts, Star Wars, Star Trek, movies, television. It's great. It's all there. And I highly encourage you to check it out at thenerdparty.com. You can follow The Nerd Party at Join Nerd Party on Twitter and like the Facebook page, The Nerd Party. And also there's an Instagram. I've never plugged that for some reason, but that's just The Nerd Party as well. So go do all that. And that's it. That's all I have to say. Love you, Heath Ledger.